sunglasses for your shirt, man.
Sorry.
Exactly. I can hear you, but I can't see you.
I can't even look at you right now.
It's like Jesus on the road to Damascus. I read that chapter this morning.
This is the Shekinah glory right now. That's all I can think of. Moses coming down from the mountain.
Oh, all this stuff. Are we rolling already? Okay, well, let's consider that the intro. Welcome to
Beyond the Sermon with my very white shirt that everyone is concerned about. Just a reminder, Beyond the Sermon exists to have practical conversations as we seek to apply God's word to all areas of life. And so today we are joined by another very distinguished guest. Earl Marshall is in the house with us. So Earl, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Earl is the executive director of the Great Commission Collective Canada.
Let's go.
So can you just start by telling us a little bit about what you do in the ministry of GCC?
And Earl, we're glad you're here. Seriously. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Thanks. Looking forward to it as well. GCC Canada is basically a network of churches that is committed to strengthening leaders and planting churches. That's essentially what we do. And we do that because we have a massive gospel need in our country to see churches that are focused on the gospel. And so we're working together to try to do that, see that happen across the country, different places. So that's what we're all about.
And there's some good momentum right now. I sit on the board of GCC Canada with Earl, and I love Earl's leadership, and we're excited to see in the last several years, there's a lot of churches being planted and momentum, and other churches are showing interest. And so, yeah, this is the great need for our nation. So Earl's a big part of that, and we're thankful for our GCC association.
Yeah, you look at the stats, like even in Canada, what pastors are retiring and also needs for church plant. So we're really right now linked in on trying to help churches multiply themselves. So that's where we're investing most of our time.
That's awesome. Can you share, there has been a few churches planted this year, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah, we had three churches in Ontario planted, one in Hamilton from this church, from Hope Oakville, and then another one in Welland that came out of Hope Niagara, and then another one in Simcoe that came out of a church in Brantford, Mission City in Brantford.
And of course, a very special year for us here at Oakville, because we had another daughter church planted and then we had two granddaughters. And so we're very proud to see them. And they're all healthy and vibrant right now. Yeah. So,
and then another church just about to get queued up to start in preparation for this fall in West Brampton.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's so cool, man.
This is good news.
This is very good news, man.
So if people are listening and you're interested in church planting, hey, you know who to talk to now. His name is Earl, the Duke of Earl. So you need to get in touch with him.
The Earl Marshall.
That's right.
In a long time. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And before Earl was the executive director of GCC, he was on our staff as one of the pastors here.
That's right.
And him and his wife, Brenda, are members of our church. So you are no stranger to Hope Oakville.
No. Nope.
And we are delighted to have you. So today, to shift gears into our topic, a bit of a lighter episode.
Yeah.
Praise God.
But a good one.
A good one. So the title of this one is Books That Have Shaped Your Life. And when I heard that title, I got excited about it, but I realized in prepping for this, that could mean a lot of different things. You could have done, five best books of all time. You could have done five most meaningful books for you, five books you think every leader should read, and you'd get different answers depending on how you frame this. Yeah. So I wanted to leave it kind of broad enough so that we could kind of dig in, but five books that have shaped your life. And so I'm going to dig in. I think what we'll do is we'll kind of just alternate back and forth. And you guys came prepared. You have books that you're excited to talk about. But before we get there, a quote, leaders are readers. Mm. True or false?
Absolutely true.
True.
Yeah, true.
True.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
What has your relationship been to reading? Have you guys always been, you're both leaders. Have you always been, has reading come easy to you? Is that something you had to grow in as a discipline? What's been your relationship to reading? We'll start with you, Robbie.
Sure. Well, I think that's kind of funny because before I was saved in Jesus Christ, I basically never read a book in my life. So, I mean, that's kind of true. Like, it's kind of true. It just wasn't a passion of mine. The moment I got saved by Christ and the Holy Spirit filled my life, all of a sudden, this appetite and hunger was transforming inside of me. And it started obviously with the Bible, but then the desire to feed on all this new life. Mm-hmm. And that instantly gave me an appetite I really didn't have previously to read. Well, I want to say too, as we start this too, I mean, obviously the Bible is the book of books, but it's the books that, you know, point to the Bible. And I think that books are the greatest tool for growth that we can have. And one of the greatest gifts we have, again, as human beings. And so we got to make sure that leaders 100% will be readers, and we must continue to foster this learning posture throughout our lives. And even like now, like today, I love this episode because it is so important. People can say, oh, you know, books that shape your life. Oh, that's nice. No, it's more than nice. Yeah. It's absolutely fundamental and essential if we're going to be used within ministry. So this is well chosen, and I'm excited that we get to talk about this as well. So in my past, no, but when I got saved, and then from there, I got some books here. There's dozens and dozens of books we could talk about. We're going to dwell on a few that have been instrumental for me, and then for Earl and for you as well. So I'm excited.
Yeah, great. Earl, what about you? What's your relationship been like with reading?
Yeah, it's similar to Robbie, but when I was younger, I was very into athletics. I didn't really give a lot of time to reading.
That's kind of my problem.
And as I progressed, like I think when I hit college, like leaving high school, going to college, and then being forced into the habit and then experiencing the joy.
Yeah.
So that's where I got an appetite. So it's been more of a love-hate relationship for me. Like there's early in life lacked a lot of discipline. Then once I got the discipline going, I got to experience the delight and the joy in reading and just learning from different people. So I read fairly wide. I'm not narrow in my reading. I have, and I learn things from lots of different sources. So that's been helpful.
Earl's been a great example in this, by the way, too. Yeah. He's living it out.
I'm thankful for that.
That's awesome.
Can I add this too, B? One of the greatest things, this is what this podcast serves to do, but one of the greatest helps for me was mentors in my life that said, here's a book you need to read, and here's another book. And here, that was a huge part of my growth and maturity in Christ. And so that's what we're kind of trying to do right now, right? Here's a book you need to read. Yeah. So it's great.
That's great. Really good. Yeah. For me, reading did not really come naturally either. Same kind of story, you know, wrapped up with all the other things, sports and whatever. And then, you know, as God calls you, you realize, oh, I think reading is going to be an important part of ministry and growth and knowledge and learning. And so, turn from sheer duty to delight. And there's still things I read that I have to read, whether it's for education or whatever, and I don't love, but learning the value of it, seeing the value of it and, you know, cultivating the discipline of it has been great.
And physical books, right, Brandon?
No. So I'm like the only guy, apparently. Maybe I'm not going to call it a generational thing, but maybe we could, that I enjoy Kindle and the men on, you know, on either side of me enjoy a hard copy. So I have no hard copies with me.
Yeah.
You're a hard copy guy, right, Earl?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all right.
Me too.
I just like, let's just pick up on something Robbie said about the importance for leaders. I think there's something to have to discipline yourself to actually read an idea and actually let it mull over in your head and kind of go through that process that you can't get anywhere else.
That's right.
Right. So that's why I think books are valuable. If you're going to stay sharp as a leader in your mind, you have to read.
Yeah. Yeah. Could not agree more.
Interesting foundational thought was that, you know, do you think God loves books? Well, God actually wrote a book. It's so interesting. He wrote a physical book. Mm-hmm. And, and it's the one gift we have as the church that we can hold in our hands. And so obviously it's important to him. And so just to build on what Earl said too, right? Just some of these things we kind of miss out. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay, that must be important. So
all of that is very, very well said. My rebuke is taken. I feel it. Thank you. Okay, so here, let's get to our list. So rather than just rattling off titles, I think just a few questions to help kind of prompt some conversation dialogue. So the book, what is it? what's it about, if you kind of distill some of the big idea or key lessons that have stuck with you from that book. When did you read it? I think, Earl, you and I were talking about this, that sometimes it's not the most important books, right, that mean the most to us. It's just when God, you know, when we read it, where were we at in life and how God used that to kind of shape us and lead us. And so just if there's any story behind that, I think that's great. And yeah, so I think that's enough. I think that's enough to kind of just prompt us in our conversation. So I think guest gets to go first on this one.
Okay.
So Earl, what's your first pick for your books?
Wow. That's interesting. Let me start with some of the books that I use that help me read scripture. Mm-hmm. So that's probably most of my reading is around commentaries and tools that help me experience God in scripture. So I found that's been a higher priority for me in as I've grown older, not just to understand scripture, but to actually be able to experience God in scripture. And I need a lot of help in that. So books like Valley of the Visions, you know, anything that like just reading through a Crossway book this summer on the Psalms and how they kind of put it together during different times during the day. Things like that help me with praying the scripture, help me intersecting with the scripture. So, because I probably spend 75% of my reading week in the scripture and then using tools that are helping me understand the scripture the most.
We should probably add that Earl was a professor for 14 years, yes. Right? Just to give some of the background. Yes. From athletics, just scholarship.
That's right. Right? Doctorate. Yeah. Dr.
There
Earl
you
Marshall.
Go. Absolutely.
Earned it, honestly. For those who don't know Valley of Vision, maybe just say a little bit about what that research, because that's been deeply meaningful to me as well. And I know Robbie as well. So maybe just share about what is the Valley of Vision?
I think it's Puritan writers, I believe. And it's just really a series of prayers that they've prayed, and they've categorized them in different topics.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, you know, there are moments in my life where I just actually don't trust my own prayers. Mm. Like I have a lot I wanted to say to the Lord, but I'm not always in the best spot. So I use books like that to help me process my emotion and being able to express and build out and go from there. So that's where I found that helpful.
Hmm. Beautiful. I know for me too, just as somebody who, you know, if you feel like your prayer life is stagnant, I think the Valley of Vision, these Puritan writers, it'll give you language that you're not used to. And there's a depth and there's a passion in that is, I think, a lot of that is lost in kind of some of the modern, whatever, church movement. There's the Puritans had an angst in their soul that came out in their prayers, and that's been so meaningful.
True.
Yeah. Robbie, your turn.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll try to go in a little bit of order, like chronologically for me, or just we'll see how far we get, whatever. Cool. But I brought some physical books here because I just think it's nice to have physical, but it's nice to see too, just for people.
I just want to say, technically I have 1300 books with me in my laptop, but no, you carry on.
Touche. Yeah. However, oh yeah, that feels good. So, again, there's so many books, but for me and my development, when I was a young man in ministry, I was surrounded by good environments, but I would say I wasn't introduced formally to Reformed theology. Mm-hmm. The moment that I was, and this is when I remember a pastoral mentor invited me to go into a bookstore and to choose resources, and just they were going to pay for that. And at that season of my life, I knew the area that I needed. And so I was first introduced, this is Bible Doctrine by Wayne Grudem. We all know he has the larger version, about twice the size, Systematic Theology, the smaller version, which is called again, there's a little one. Anyway, so this is the midsize. But when I got my hands on this book and was introduced to such a solid, theological, sound doctrine, you know, beautifully written, balanced, all of that, God used this book to transform my theological understanding and to put me, there's a big story behind this, but to put me on a pathway that absolutely absolutely transform my theology, my understanding of doctrine, my appreciation of that, and just the clarity that I needed for what was coming, honestly, in the planting of this church. Wayne Grudem, you know, his Systematic Theology has sold over 1 million copies. Yeah. Like that's like, it's a 1200-page book. That is astounding.
That is.
It just tells you how much God has used that across this world. And that has been, he has been our resident, well, he's been our theologian for this church since the beginning, and we still use it today, and it's just been so, so profound. So I always say to people, like, this is the kind of mid-level version. I would get Systematic Theology if you can. It is the resource for life. It is a theological textbook. There are other ones that are excellent too. This is the one that's been so used for me, for our leaders, our elders, and our church. So when I got my hands on that, I was like, oh, this is very, very helpful. And how many times reference Systematic Theology this week, literally yesterday, and will continue to do for the rest of my life, I pray.
Earl, do you have an equivalent, or maybe it was Grudem, but like, was there a Systematic Theology or a theology book that really kind of was a paradigm shifter for you in your early life?
Yeah, I think Grudem, but before Grudem, but you know, we have different generations around That's the right, table, right? So right, I would have been more of like an Erickson. I would have grown up on Erickson.
Yeah.
But I prefer Grudem.
Yeah.
So I find what I'm finding is I've appreciated the big theologies, but I'm also enjoying writers who can take some of the abstract concepts and make them more concrete.
Yes.
So Michael Reeves, I found this to be very helpful. His book on the Delighting in the Trinity was a very excellent, much like, I read that probably every other year. Mm-hmm. So things like that. I'm always looking for things like that.
Can I just reiterate again for those listening in our church? If you don't have this book,
I got it.
Fix that today. Yeah. This is the resource for the rest of your life. If you want to go the bigger Systematic Theology with Grudem, do it. It's in our bookstore. Again, I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah. Or you could be disobedient and get it on Kindle if you wanted to. That's fine too.
That's right. That's right.
I remember for me, kind of my version of that was reading What is Reformed Theology by R.C. Sproul. That I read that coming, I think it would have been early in my university. And again, pursuing ministry at some level, but then I remember reading that and there were like light bulbs going off. And then that kind of brought me down a path, and then Grudem becoming kind of the primary systematic that I would reference. And it's been so deeply helpful. So love that.
Yeah.
Oh, your next pick. You're up.
Oh, my next pick. One of the books that was super helpful for me in my college age was this Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, a young man struggling with sin in his life, like I had a mentor, again, give me the book and said, read it and then come back and see me next week and we'll talk about it. Mm. So,
wow.
And now I'm almost 65 and I still remember the book. I still remember the conversations we had. I remember the input that took place in my life. So really, really significant. And it's as it is to the title, it's about pursuing after the holiness of the Lord and how to be a holy man. So I really recommend that. It's a good book.
That's great. Back to you. Let's keep going.
Yeah, maybe, you know, on that line a little bit, like spiritual leadership is a huge passion. Yeah. So this is an older version. So we have updated covers now, but this is one I have is dear to my heart. So spiritual leadership, Oswald Sanders, probably one of the most given out books in our church's history. Yeah. You know, it's a classic. It's an absolute classic. So we would all agree.
Yep.
If you haven't gone through this, most people listening probably have. Again, it's one of those things you kind of resource. We all are leaders, training, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. God has used this. Again, this book sold so many copies over the course of decades. It just doesn't get old. Going through this with my son right now, you know, just walk through so many. Anyways, it's just excellent. So spiritual leadership, if you haven't got it, you have to, and on the top of your list, terms of character, development, principles of ministry, leadership, all of that as well. So that's been hugely, hugely transformational too.
I think this quote comes from there, that he was mighty in public prayer because he was constant in private devotion.
Probably
I think that comes from that book.
Sounds like it.
And I remember reading that early. I think my first day on staff, you handed me a copy of that book or someone, and That was shaping my life, my spiritual formation.
Yeah. Well,
so
short chapters, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Easily accessible. Yeah. He devised like just a couple of pages each, but man, very, very helpful.
Man, that's great.
Picking up on that.
Yeah.
On prayer, E.M. Bounds, the collection, E.M. Bounds collected work on prayer, would be a good, I kind of view that as like a standard textbook for prayer. You need to read it. Agreed. What the beauty of it is it gives you some helpful things to do, but it's very passion oriented too. So it really drives you in that direction. So I found that really helpful.
Yeah. E.M. Bounds is the man on prayer.
Yeah.
His collected volume, whatever it is, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
Even just the small little, The Power of Prayer.
Yeah, The Power of Prayer.
It's a tiny little book, changed my life. You know, a friend in ministry gave this to me. This is a good story. He gave, like, you know, how many years ago? Sat on my shelf for 6 months, I think. One day I looked over during sermon. I saw this tiny little book. And I picked it up and I started flipping through it and the Holy Spirit took over. And it was like, just blew my mind. Yeah. It gets tiny. Yeah. And it is, especially for a preacher in prayer, that book, The Power of Prayer, E.M. Bounds. Wow.
Isn't it so awesome when a book, packs such a punch, like a short book that just has such, like, so there's a lot of big books and that we need those. That's great. Like Systematic, that's great. But when you have a little book that doesn't consume a lot of time and just leaves its imprint on you, those are the best ones I find. And
the Lord uses it.
Oh yeah. It's great. Okay. Back to you.
Oh, back to me again.
Yeah.
All right.
You just went.
I can go. It's okay. No. I mean, I'm fine.
Cleverly just jumped on yours. You have more to share. You can go next.
Sure. What topic do you want to talk about right now? Or doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay. I'll just go with this one here. So again, this is an older version of updated cover, but in terms of preaching, this book, Lloyd Jones, by the way, Lloyd Jones as a whole has been so influential in my life, a biography of him as well. But this book specifically on preaching and the character of a preacher, again, life-changing for me. Again, updated cover looks a lot nicer than this one, but his integrity with the word, his advice on character and preaching, his passion for the Holy Spirit, that chapter alone on the Holy Spirit, it is thoroughly highlighted in this one. But God used that profoundly in my life and as a young preacher and developing, and this would be part of the textbook books that we would use for preachers as we seek to train here at this church as well. So Marlo joins preaching and preachers. I always get those words mixed up. Is it preachers first or preaching? But preaching and preachers. great read for you if that interests you.
I love that. Maybe I'll take one.
Please.
I got one. A.W. Tozer, Whatever Happened to Worship? Tozer is beloved, and I remember reading that book again early on in my ministry here. And it's really, if you're not familiar with the book, it's kind of a prophetic critique against the modern church, the modern church. It was written in the 60s, I believe, and yet it feels like it could be written today, like just such timely words, and basically just the idea that we've lost the awe of God, the fear of God in our worship, and we are settling for so little. And so just this, you know, as only Tozer can do with some of his pithy phrases, but just poking and prodding people to say, no, there is more available. And the defining feature of the church is the worship of the triune God. And so I just remember that was a sobering read, right? Like just when I read that, of just the responsibility that we have as worship leaders and as ministers to protect the purity of worship within the church. Mm. And that, for me coming in from a musical worship background, like this is not a small deal. This is huge. The responsibility that we have to just maintain a right heart posture. And even he has a whole chapter, like worship is emotional. Like emotions should come alongside the truth that we're singing about and the passion. And so anyways, he has a quote here I wrote down. He says, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven.
Wow, amen.
So Tozer. And that book was instrumental for me early on.
So I have to jump on that. The one book I don't have, which I'm grieved in my soul that is not here with me, because it's Tozer's Pursuit of God. So I'm a young man. I'll just tell it quick. Young man in between transition about to plant this church, really searching for a vision of what the Lord would have given Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Okay. Like, again, the impact, again, it's amazing. God had these moments, and you mentioned this, and he has these moments. And I remember on a family vacation and started reading this book, and it was like the Lord was speaking directly to my heart. And that, long story short, the Pursuit of God has been the instrumental vision casting resource for this church, for Hope Oakville. And essentially following hard after God. It's a classic. I love Tozer wrote that book on a train ride from Chicago to Texas or Houston, wherever he's going. Okay. So in a one day, he testified, I could not keep up fast enough with the pen that I was holding and how much the Lord was leading him. Yeah. And of course it has sold more copies, you know, past his death than it did when he was alive. Another classic, Pursuit of God, Tozer. And again, that has framed the vision for this church. So we wholeheartedly recommend anyone remotely close to this ministry, Please read it.
And that book's not even aimed at necessarily pastors, right?
Like
That is for any believer in Jesus Christ, right? And I love that. So pick up a copy. Was he Canadian?
No, but he pastored at Bayview Glen,
which is
in the 60s with a church in Toronto.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
So cool. All right, back to Earl.
Couple books on humility, I think, that have been good for me, the Art of Self-Forgetfulness by Keller. Excellent. He takes a challenging topic, humility, which is not hard to talk about, but hard to really kind of put your arms around what it actually means and looks like. So that definition, the Art of Self-Forgetfulness, has very, very been helpful for me and helpful for a lot of people that I've given that book to. And then Andrew Murray, just writing on humility, I found as a classic, it's been excellent.
Yes. Really good. I need to reread that. That's one of those ones a mentor gave to me when I was a young man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hugely impactful.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've been so blessed by both of your ministries. So the benefit that I have is every book that you've recommended, I think one of you has come be like, you need to read this. So it's awesome. It really is.
It is the blessing, right?
It is. It's a huge blessing. I love that Keller pick, Self-Forgetfulness. It's, again, short. Like, you can read that in one sitting. And yet the impact that it has is staggering. Like, it's so good.
A recent book, kind of attached to humility, but not exactly the same, that I've read, a recent book is A Secret Place of Thunder, Trading Our Need to Be Noticed for a Hidden Life with Christ by John Starks. So, and I think that's helpful for people like us that are more in like a performative lifestyle where we have to get up in front of people every week and you're not hidden, you're in front of people. So kind of goes along with the humility thing. I found that very, very helpful for me.
That's interesting because that book is sitting in my library at home right now. I haven't read it.
Yeah, it's good. I really liked it.
I got a little break coming up. Maybe now's the time. Thank you, Earl.
Yeah, what's the title again?
The Secret Place of Thunder.
I'm gonna write that one down. That's good.
That was a Tim Kerr recommendation.
Yeah.
For me.
Okay. Yeah. Of course. Exactly. That's great. That's, you want to keep going?
So we're going to a category of biblical theology now. Okay. Biblical theology once again changed my life. I remember, so I was a young man in Christian ministry, and I would say I had pieces of the biblical puzzle all floating around. I didn't know how they all came together. Right. Tim Kerr, he recommended this book to me. Again, I can't tell you how much mentors that come alongside and just advise because they know and they're wise. So God's Big Picture, Von Roberts, okay? And Von Roberts is picking up of another book on biblical theology, but really, how is the Bible one book? So when I read all these books, I mean, they're here for a reason. So I remember sitting down, and this is not a big book. Look, and it's easy to read and so accessible, but he frames the Bible as a single book written by God for the blessing of exalting Jesus Christ, and he takes the thread of the kingdom of God, okay? So all these pieces were there, but they were scattered. This book brought the pieces of the puzzle of the Bible into one picture that I could look at. I have rarely been that excited. Mm-hmm. I remember saying that the light bulbs that were going off, all these things that I kind of knew, but then all of a sudden they come together and the joy and the blessing. And so this has been a key resource in our church. We did a sermon series based. I actually emailed Von Roberts, can I have permission to use your airline? He's like, yeah, for sure. So we did a whole sermon series completely ripping the outline of this book with permission, and because it meant so much to me and to our team. And so I think this is one of the greatest missing pieces of believers. I think so many people have an appreciation of the Bible, but they can't relate how Genesis relates to Samuel, to Isaiah, to Malachi, to John's gospel, and Revelation. Few Christians can do that. This book helps you do that. It's easy to read. And again, so many parts in this where I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. This is just so good. So cannot recommend this one highly. Isn't it good to have a physical book in hand? It is, though. It's good. It's good to be able to show it and see it. And to say, again, Von Roberts took this idea from others as well. And it's been such a blessing.
The best part, though, of the book is that it's alliterated, right? The outline is alliterated.
It is. Eight-piece.
Yeah, that's right.
Every pastor's dream.
Yes. Right?
And has a chart.
Yes.
A whole chart you can follow along with. Excellent.
As I'm thinking, I think one of the things we're going to do, I think our team can do this, but we might just link all the books in show notes. And so all of these, you're going to see links. If any of them are piquing your interest, we'll make that available.
Excellent
idea.
Guys.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Someone will do that.
We have to do that.
I'll take one, Gentle and Lowly.
Oh yeah.
By Dane Ortlund. I remember reading that book. For those of you who don't know, it's really focusing on the person, the character of God, but in the person of Christ. And it's kind of, in some ways, a correction, I think, about how many people can have a faulty view of God and view him as someone who is constantly disappointed with them, who is ashamed of them, who is reluctant in their fellowship. And so, you know, even growing up in the church, it's funny how we can know something's true. Like we can know things, but our felt experience is another. And so for me, walking through a harder season, I remember with Beth and just kind of some of the struggles we were having, and then reading this book, and there were two chapters in particular that stood out. One of them was on the friendship of Christ and just how I have a quote here, "All of our human friendships have a limit to what they can withstand. But what if there were a friend with no limit, no ceiling on what he would put up with and still want to be with you? All the kinds and degrees of friendship meet in Christ." He says this, "He offers us a friendship that gets underneath the pain of our loneliness. While that pain does not go away, its sting is made fully bearable by the far deeper friendship of Jesus."
Wow.
And I remember reading that book. I was on vacation in Florida after just like a tough, tough go, and just tears coming down my face when I'm in real time feeling the manifest presence of God through the friendship of Christ. And so really life-changing in a sense. We're taking something that is kind of known abstractly and then impressing it. And so for anyone who's like hurting or suffering or walking through difficult things, like this is kind of one of my go-tos. It's read Gentle and Lonely. And it's like a drink of water when you're thirsty.
There's a reason it sold so many copies, right?
Yeah, the book's done okay.
It did well.
That's
great.
That is great.
I think we're back to you, Earl. Is that right?
No idea.
Okay, we're back to you.
Augustine's Confessions, super hard read, but I think it's important to read every few years just to struggle through that and hear a guy express his struggle with temptation and how the Lord met him. And I mean, his biography by Dan Brown biography on Augustine of Hippo is excellent too. I'm just struck with the sovereignty of God and how he chooses different people in different eras and works through those people. Like, you know, like there, like literally there's nothing in his pre-Christian person. Like he was a great thinker, but man, he was messed up. So, and seeing how God got a hold of his life. So I think it's worth the struggle to kind of work through that and be reminded of that, those things.
Great recommendation. For those who don't know who Augustine is, Maybe just...
Oh, man.
No, no, like just 10 seconds on who he is.
Can I call Michael Haken?
Yeah, no.
Can
yeah.
I call a friend?
I'm not asking Michael. For a biography, yeah. But he would be from patristic theology
yeah.
A lot. Was it 300?
Yep.
Yeah, and so...
I think it was, yeah.
Has been one of the most significant contributors to yeah. theology.
Yep. African, you know, pope, basically.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
It's very helpful.
I think we do two more, and then we go to the rapid fire. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good.
So
that's
you get to okay. decide.
So I'm going to now go to biography.
Okay? Yeah.
Biography okay. is massively important. So John Piper's 27 Servants of Sovereign Joy. Now, so this book consists of 27 lives that John Piper kind of taught on his conference right. over the years, put them all together, but it all started with one book at a time, and they had three different lives that they were, okay, so again, I'm not trying to speak in hyperbole, but I'm just being honest, okay? So there are a few things that have been more used in my life in terms of biographical material to encourage, to edify, to bless, to build faith, than the contents within this book, especially in his first five or six versions. So 15 or 18 lives that right. he wrote about, themes of endurance, mm-hmm. themes of those struggling with depression, mm-hmm. themes of those who are persecuted. I mean, The Roots of Endurance is one book he wrote. So it's all in here. So if you, I try to tell young people, if you we gave this away at our Young Adults yeah. Conference. I'm like, you have no idea the blessing that you probably That's have right. no idea yeah. how blessed you are to have this. And please do not let this sit in your shelf. And the thing that worries me about this book, it's so big that you can get lost in it, but just take one life mm-hmm. and just go through Charles Simeon, you know, or go through, I think, Athanasius in here, go through, you know, Spurgeon. It's just so, so good. So the Lord has used this profoundly. Mm-hmm. I will go back to some of those books over and over and over again, resource reference, using my preaching, but also mm-hmm. personally just devotion. And there's certain themes I just can't get away from. And so I'm so thankful. Again, they're not long together. No. 21 yep. It's big, but the books themselves are easy to read, packed with scripture, very applicational, and Piper's done such a good yeah. job. And so
is that one 27 or 21?
27.
It's 27.
That's 27 biographies.
Correct.
In, like, yeah. That, so
that's right.
That's really
yeah 27 great. individuals. So this resource by itself is just gold. Yeah. It's gold.
I love that.
Yeah.
27, soon to be 35 maybe.
So,
he's still right.
He's still doing them.
So,
yeah. Those are great.
Piper yeah. needs to be mentioned too, because he's blessed. There's so many books
there's
we can list
so
by
books
him, right?
Could, yeah, for him. I mean, very, very important.
Desiring God, obviously, is a classic that right. everyone has to have their hands on too. And so, yeah, he's written like what 50, 60 books or something,
probably.
Yeah.
All right, you get two more. So Robbie, Rob's got one more. You got two more still. So which one do you want to?
Well, for me, J.I. Packer's Knowing God, it was super helpful for me as a young believer.
Another classic.
Yeah, young man. So that just, again, getting oriented to Christianity. Stott, maybe along the lines of that, mm-hmm. not as powerful for me, but an important name in my early development theologically. So pretty much anything by those two guys is going to be helpful for you.
Yeah. Stott's been a huge blessing for me. Yeah.
Cross of Christ. That's a heavy hitter from John Stott.
Yeah. Is the thing, evangelical theology. If you want to like a real quick overview of evangelical theology, that's a good book too.
Cross of Christ is a classic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. His book on preaching between two worlds.
That's great.
Okay. I've read that.
That's really outstanding.
Good.
You need to.
Yeah.
That idea of between the culture and
good.
He's very good at that.
Yeah. Excellent story. So the last one. What am I doing? Maybe before we get rapid
fire. Whatever you want. Yeah.
So best book I've read recently on marriage. Okay. Cool. And it's also biblical theology. So we talked about that. We have to know biblical theology. I find many, many believers, again, don't have a great understanding of the difference between biblical theology and systematic theology. Mm-hmm. This, when you put pieces of the puzzle together. So what Ray Ortland's doing here, who's a fantastic author, by the way, mm-hmm. he is taking the thread of marriage from Genesis to Revelation. He's showing you how that thread works through all of scripture. Right. Again, it's not big. This is in our curriculum for leaders. His explanation of even Genesis and in terms of marriage, like Genesis 1 and 2. I was like, this is one of the best stuff I've ever read. Like it lit me on fire. Mm-hmm. And it also I think it can really impact your marriage, you know? So it's a double whammy here. Lots of books we could say. This is one of the last, let's say, 5 years that has been very, very impactful for me. Ray Earlier Marriage. Absolutely excellent, especially the first half. Easy to read, but read slowly and how the Lord might use that in your life and impact you.
And just to say more about that series, because that's...
Yes, yes. Biblical theology
There's series. A biblical theology series where it takes different topics. So marriage is one of them. Work is one of them. Yeah. I think there's redemptive kingdom. Reversal. There's the kingdom. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones.
Short studies and biblical theology. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's another one, Short Studies in Systematic Theology, which is also fantastic as well. So just brief, these brief reads that are so meaningful. So excellent resource. Last one to you.
Oh man. My favorite thing to do at Christmas, as a quick thing, read on the Incarnation.
I knew where you were going
Athanasius.
With this.
It's
where you're
my going. Absolute favorite thing to do. He has it's not a long book, very, very short. Actually, the whole book's not on the Incarnation. The first part is. And he has one paragraph that just every year I read it and I go, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. To imagine the Christ child that comes in being held by Mary and yet at the same time holding all the stars in place. Mm-hmm. And I just but there's things like that I'm always looking for. That makes theology live for me. When I'm able to think that those things,
Do you know that last week I learned that he was a teenager when he wrote that?
I did not know that.
No way. I got to make sure that's correct, but a young teenager.
Wow.
That's what I heard. I was listening to a podcast and it came up.
That's quite amazing.
If that's true.
Wow. Yeah,
I know. I guess the guy was pretty smart.
Yeah. So. What I appreciate about some of the things that we've shared in this list is if you notice, we're not just reading books from the last 2 years. You've mentioned some patristics, which are early Christians, thousands of years old, and yet the timeless truths and the contributions that have been made. You're going back to the source to read some of these things, and it's wonderful to do that. So those are great.
It's a great blend. Grudem's so foundational for us, and I think for many people, he's really great. But then to kind of sprinkle in some of the earlier writers that would have influenced him,
That's right.
That's so good. All right. Are we ready for some rapid fire?
Let's do it.
Rapid fire.
Okay.
So I'm going to hold us. This is, you don't get to say a paragraph. Okay.
That's fine.
You don't get to say you get brief.
Got it.
Yeah. So, don't get mad at me for asking the question. Okay. What are you reading when you go on vacation? So it was fun reads. Okay. This is fun reads.
Yeah.
So I think everyone assumes that pastors just read more theology and Bible stuff. And sometimes we do, maybe.
Sometimes. But sometimes
we're not afraid
nice
of some fun
to.
Reads, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are some fun reads? You're going on vacation. What's a fun read that you've either read or that you're looking forward to reading?
Yeah. So the last two vacations I took, I read spy thriller, true story spy kind of thrillers. Okay. And Ben McIntyre, I believe, and a whole bunch of books by him, which have been really, really good. And then most recently, I love history. And I got into American history again, and a book called 1776, which was recommended to me by pastor colleagues in the GCC. There's a plug again for the GCC. I read that book though, and it was perfect because it was 250th birthday of the U.S. But really, the story of the Revolutionary War, and I got into it 50 pages. I couldn't put it down.
I'm excited to read it.
Yeah, loved it, and I just crushed it that week. And I was sad when it was done. So that was a few weeks ago. 1776. I recommend if you like history, excellent storyteller. And then I just bought McCullough's. Book on John Adams, and that's supposed to be recommended too. Yeah, they're really big, but it's been great.
It's good. That's awesome. That was a good one word answer.
Sorry,
we got preachers at the table. What do you expect?
For me, summer is about adventure, risk books. So anything that fits into that category.
What's an example?
Emerald Mile, the story where the guys did the dam was going to burst in the Grand Canyon, and they had this raft that they put together, and they broke the speed record of completing on the Columbia River or something like that. Something it would take like a week or 2 weeks long. They did it in 30 hours or something.
Holding on for dear life.
essentially. So they tell, it's a true story, but they tell the whole, so anything that's like that, or like a prisoner of war camp or things like that are kind of keeping me on edge and risk, or even a Christian book that would allow to do that. Or if I can find a novel, which I don't use, although I did, we were talking about this before. I mean, last year on my summer vacation, I read Theo of Golden.
Mm-hmm. And me too.
By Levi. Yeah, me too. And it was like, I'm glad I read it.
Yeah.
So me I too. Don't normally say that always when I read a novel.
That's right.
I'm just trying to escape, I think, a little bit when yeah. I'm reading in the
yep.
summer.
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
Which can be healthy, right?
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, yeah. Your mind can just kind of.
For me, my fun reads are, I love Michael Lewis. So he mm-hmm. wrote things like The Big Short, Moneyball.
Those are good books, by the way.
What else? Liar's Poker, Going Infinite. And so if he's got a book out, I'm very inclined to read it. And again, it's just so different than our
yeah.
world. So
yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, rapid fire. One book you'd give to a new believer.
Case for Christ.
Okay.
Mere Christianity.
Oh, that's mine.
Oh, so sorry.
Can't take that away.
Case for Christ. Earl, over to you.
C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity.
Excellent idea.
That's great.
Excellent idea.
I like What is the Gospel? Greg Gilbert. Just foundational. It's good. One book you'd recommend to someone starting out in ministry?
Lectures to My Students. Excellent. Charles Spurgeon.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Right
that's,
here. So,
yes.
yeah, again, this would be the top excellent. 5-10 books ever yeah. for me.
Yeah.
Lectures to My Students.
Earl.
Yeah, I would probably do Peterson's book, Under the Unpredictable Plant.
Okay.
Teaching you how to develop rhythms in ministry. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been helpful.
For me, probably something by Paul Tripp, either Dangerous Calling or...
he's got the hard copy ready. There you go. Dangerous Calling. This is a good one.
Yeah,
really, 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 really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I like Awe. By Paul Tripp.
Yeah.
I think it, yeah, that was great. Okay. Next, one biography that stands out to you that has not been mentioned.
Oh
man. George Whitfield right here. Oh, so yeah. Sweet. And in fact, volume number one would be the one this is volume number two. But volume number one is the one I like the most. That was very, very impactful for me again, going to ministry and just, it's a great read. There's a shorter version of this, by the way, that came out
really?
By Dalimore. Yeah. Just last year. Oh. And so I got that and read that as well. Cool. And
who's that published by?
So, oh man,
I don't know. Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, but, sorry. It does exist. Yeah.
Great.
And it's much shorter.
One biography.
I don't have it.
Don't mean to buy you more time.
You've used a lot of
you said biographies. I used a hippo.
Okay.
So. Sorry.
That's okay. For me.
And he stole my Piper thing. So that's
yeah, I know. I know.
So. there's a wonderful single volume biography on Winston Churchill by Andrew Roberts. And I think it's probably the best single volume on him. And that's probably my go-to.
I just finished one literally two nights ago, but it's much shorter. Johnson,
okay.
By Johnson.
Okay, yeah.
Remember his first name? Really good,
yeah,
easy
yeah.
to read. That's a good start for me anyway.
Well,
so
if we're going off, like there's a, like Lincoln, like there's tons of great.
You don't have to be angry at me.
No, I thought we were doing like Christian biographies. But the Lincoln one, the one where that talks about how he what's the title of the name? Where he surrounds himself with basically his enemies, his political enemies, brings them into cabinet. I thought that was kind of
that's
interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I got to look that one up.
It's good.
One book you're reading right now.
George Washington, A Life.
Yeah.
Chernow. It's
yes.
like, it's long.
That's a long
like,
one.
It's like 850 pages. I swear it's 6 font. I'm yeah. telling you. I'm yeah, like, right. wow, what a beast. Now that came out from, I was reading again from 1776, different author, but inspired it. And I was like, wow, I want to learn more about, you know, this is a big deal. So right now I'm trudging through it.
In Kindle, you can change the size of the font, just saying.
It doesn't change the word count, though.
No, it does not change the word count. What about you, Earl? One book you're reading right now?
The Mentoring Church by Phil Newton.
Okay.
Almost finished. Really good. Gives me a good vision of how a church could be a mentoring church.
Cool.
And it just props to you, Brian. I'm actually reading What It Means to Be a Protestant,
yes.
right?
Oh, okay.
By
yes.
Ortlund.
Yes.
Off your recommendation. Great. And I'm really enjoying that right now.
It's an excellent book. Mm. My answers aren't that interesting. Mine are all school reads right now.
Mm,
but they are good. Though. They are good. But yeah. they're, anyways, not helpful. okay, I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to make us answer. What's one book everyone recommends that you haven't read? Like people are like, oh, this is a classic. You have to read this. And you haven't read it yet. And if
there's tons of, I mean, you could go to my office and you could find probably
it's true.
At least 70 books out of that I haven't read yet. So I can't, nothing comes to mind.
Well, my example today from Earl is that Secret Place of Thunder or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I've heard about that a few times and I haven't read it yet. Yeah. It's in my office. So that's going to be the one I need to go to right now.
For me, it's the, what's the book by Cimbala that you...
Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
I still have not read that.
Oh, that on prayer. Okay, so I'm glad you wrote that. Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire is again, top of the list in terms of transformational books in my life and the Lord's use. So if you haven't read that and you have a heart for prayer, yes, yes. Easy, simple, easy read. Yeah. Story of Brooklyn Tabernacle. Yeah. It's wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you off the hook on that.
Thanks,
question.
That's good.
guys, anything else? We're about to wrap. Anything else you want to say to the people listening about this topic?
Just where we started, just to tie it in a bow. Yeah. Again, leaders are readers without exception. And I think one of the greatest tools God has given to us is books and print, you know, especially those that exalt his name. And if we want to grow, if we want to be used, we want to bear fruit, we will be learning. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that watching TV can't do in the same way, or, you know, binging on social media will never do. But these books and just taking the time to, it's so healthy, right? It's so, I need to discipline myself. There's seasons where I'm like, I'm falling away from this habit and then getting back into it. I'm like, I got to keep doing this. This is so good for my mind, heart, life, you know, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend, everything. So can't highlight it enough. I'm so glad that we came up with this idea for this episode. I hope that people agree.
Amen. Well, guys, thanks for listening. Earl, thanks for joining us. Yes, and we will see you guys next time.